All right, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Anybody ever watch Jeopardy? All right, who am I?
That was good.
I am so small, yet can be big at times. I can be so smooth, yet so rough. I can be kind, yet harsh, be silent, yet loud, be soothing, yet irritating, be considerate, yet rude, be pure, yet vulgar. What am I? Yeah, tongue. So I want to turn to James chapter 3 and just stay there for a minute. We've been doing a series on the book of Revelation, going verse by verse, and we looked at Revelation 4 and 5. So listen, next week we're voting on nominating deacons, so I'm going to preach a message on what is a deacon. The week after, a missionary is going to be here. And then the week after, we'll get back to Revelation chapter 6, going verse by verse. We're going to look at the seals being opened. But I just want to pause for a second and stay focused on where we were created to praise God. We saw that in Revelation 4 and 5. Let me just give you a couple of verses. You're just going to stay in James 3. I'm going to get there in a second. Revelation 4:11 says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we are created for the pleasure of God and to give him glory. We don't always understand that because we're not supposed to get glory for ourselves. God is created to receive glory, and that's our purpose, and we do that. We're fulfilled. We're satisfied. And Revelation 5:13, we saw last week, "Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever." So as believers, we're supposed to use our tongues to glorify God continually, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. So my question to us to start with is, how much praise have you given to God this week? God is pleased when he hears praise, or he is grieved when we curse men. Now, this message is going to be very convicting to all of us. There's not one in this room, and James will use the word "we" as he starts. We. So I want you to do this. When you're hearing the message, we're going to go verse by verse through James 3 right now. You just think of yourself. Don't think of me. Say, "Yeah, Pastor, man, he's really got to change here. I know I need to change." Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at somebody else. Just you and God. Okay? Because if you don't do that, you're going to do exactly what James is telling you not to do. Right? All right, James 3. Let's just turn over to verse 9 and 10. I'm going to get back to verse 9 and 10, but I just want to jump there first. It says this, verse 9, "Therewith bless we God," we're talking about the tongue, right? "Even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude," that means the image of God. I know it's been corrupted because of sin, but not completely. And then it says, verse 10, "out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Right? So that's the kind of the beginning part here, is when the tongue is used to praise God, he is pleased. And you bless many people when you do that. Right? However, when we use the tongue to curse men, it displeases God and it brings division. All right, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, we're going to throw it on the screen for you. Listen to this. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look." So a proud look is what? You know, I'm better than you are. I'm smarter than you are. I know better than you. Right? That's what we think. And eventually it comes out of our mouth. Right? When we use "I" a lot, we're in trouble. And then he says, a lying tongue. And a lying tongue, staying with this, is a cursing men. It's like we make ourselves better than other persons, so we got to tear them down. And we usually do it behind their back. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. We're going to all hold each other accountable from this point on. You can hold me accountable, I'll hold you accountable. He says, "in the hands that shed innocent blood." I mean, Jesus was falsely accused, and he said nothing wrong. I mean, you can look at my life, and I'm sure there's definitely things I've said wrong. And then he says, "a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness speaketh lies." Notice he says, he's talking about lying twice there. And then he says, "and he that soweth discord." And that word means strife. Eventually, you're bringing strife into that relationship. It's going to bring division. So what I want to do is give you six reasons here to praise God and not curse men. And it's right here in James. The first one, jot down, it will be a platform or criteria of being judged by God one day. Look at verse 1, James chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters." And the idea is teachers, knowing that we, so James includes himself, shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment. So it appears in James' day that there are many that wanted to teach. They wanted the limelight. They wanted people to see them. And James makes it very clear, those who teach the word of God will be judged greater. Everything that I say comes out of my mouth, I will be judged. All the people that preach prosperity theology, you know, give God $100 and bless you with $1,000. All of the things that we say, we're all going to be held accountable, including yourself, right? So don't be so quick to say, I want to teach. Believe it or not, when God called me to do this, I didn't really want to do this. I'd rather do stuff behind the scenes. And I have a problem with that, right? People have pointed that out to me. I still want to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes, you know? And I'm working on that, trying to balance that. But Jesus said this in Luke 12, 48. He said this. All those verses are going to be on the screen for you. Don't turn. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. But he says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So it's like this. God expects a person who's been saved 10 years more than someone who's been saved for 6 months. Right? You as a parent expect your 15-year-old to be, you know, more than the 2-year-old that you have. And God is the same way. So the more wiser we think about, the more knowledge we have, oh, really? The more I'm going to hold you accountable. So this tongue is so important. And the Bible says every idle word that we speak, we're going to have to give an account of. I mean, that alone should be like, wow, I'm going to be slow to speak. Here it is. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Understand this, that all the words we speak come from our heart. So the problem is our heart. It's not our mouth. It's coming out of there, right? Okay. Now, we could hold our tongue and our heart could still be wicked, right? That's true. Sometimes we'll, oh. And by the way, Brother Paul, you did a great job with the men's thing yesterday. And I encourage the men to come out. We're looking at men at home, men at work, and men at play. And I praise God for that message yesterday. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the treasure bringeth forth evil things. Right? So again, the problem is the heart. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idol, it's agos in the Greek, and it means inactive, useless, barren, that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be again judged. So all the words that I speak or you speak that are useless, we'll give an account of those. That is a very sobering thought. It's a very sobering thought. All right, so let's be quick to talk. Let's really think, what is this going to accomplish? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, look, we're here to build God's kingdom, and it's for his glory. Are words doing that? Are we working together to do that? If we're not, we're undermining. All right, the second thing, why should we control our tongues to praise God and not curse men? Is because it portrays true maturity as a Christian. Your words say how mature you are. Watch. Look at verse 2. It says, for in many things we, again, James is including himself, offend all. Right? All of us offend people in different things. He says, if any man offend not in word, in speech, the same is a perfect. The idea there is mature, under the control of God, yielded to the Spirit. That's the idea. right? He's a mature man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, it's so interesting. James is, you know, saying all of us stumble in many areas, but if we can control our tongue, we can control the rest of our body. Why? Because it's the hardest thing to control. It's the hardest thing to control. Think about this illustration. Say you got angry at somebody. You stopped yourself from maybe hitting them, kicking them. I hope you don't do this, but you see, you stopped the rest of your body from doing something, but probably not your words. Right? Now look at James 1:26. He says it again, the same thought in chapter 1. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious, they're talking about outward worship. You know, you come here, you're raising your hand, oh man, this person really loves Jesus. And he says this, and bridleth not his tongue, doesn't restrain back, doesn't hold back his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain, it is empty. So what does that verse tell us? We are not spiritual, or no more spiritual than our words that we speak. We could say we love God. I know the book of Revelation. I do this or that. But your words and my words are telling how mature we are as a Christian. No matter how much of the Bible you know. How much I know. I could sit here and preach and all that. And then when this is over, I could go and talk about Eric behind his back. That's how mature I am. Don't let any of this fool you. This is the word of God. I'm not making this up. So really examine, we need to examine ourselves. Are we really bringing glory to God and building his kingdom? Or are we really tearing it down? I'll get into, we have to talk to people directly when there's issues. I'm going to get into that in a minute. So think about the words you've spoken to your spouse this week, your children, on Facebook, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, behind their backs, or openly. Spending time with someone and listening to their speech will tell you where they are at any moment. I'll give you some examples in the Bible, okay? King Saul, when he wanted to kill David, he was what? Jealous. He was bitter. Where's David? I want to kill David. Right? Thomas said, you know what? Unless I see Jesus, unless I see the print in his hands, what was he speaking? Unbelief. He had a lack of faith. Right? Joshua and Caleb, man, we could take this land. They showed how that strong faith that they had. Just by their words. They didn't say, hey, I have strong faith. They didn't have to. David, when I said, look, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He showed faith. No matter how the obstacles in front of him, that I could defeat Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:47, and all the assembly should know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Right? His words showed what strong faith that he had in God. So, why should we control our tongues and praise God and not curse men? It's a criteria we're going to be judged, a platform. It portrays the maturity of us as Christians. C, it has a powerful influence not to be under control. So it wants to be out of control. So we have to control that in order to praise God and not curse men. Look at verse 3 and 4, James 3. All right? It says, behold, we put, now it gives us some illustrations. He uses illustrations now. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, right? That they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And then he gives another illustration about ships. Also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor or the captain, you know, listen, wherever the captain wants it to go, he just moves the rudder. This big, huge ship, right? Now, think about that. It's easy, if you've ever been on a boat and the captain is a really good captain, it's a peaceful ride, right? When he moves the rudder correctly, it's the same thing with our tongue. When we use our tongue correctly, we'll have peace in our home. We'll have peace in the church. But when we don't, it's not going to be a smooth ride. Is there peace in our homes and in our church? It's part with what we say to one another, right? The other illustration talked about horses and, you know, controlling the bit. The tongue is so small, but it creates great influence at any time. Think of Hitler. The words that he spoke, he would end up destroying many human beings and getting other people to do that. Jesus' words, love your neighbor as yourself. What if he really did that and spoke that? Love people unconditionally. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We will eventually eat the fruit of our words. It's just a matter of time, right? Now, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't mean this. There's people out there teach the Word of Faith movement that I can create like God. No, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Don't take this further and say, I remember a person saying, I was over their house, and this was a long time ago, and their kid was going up the stairs, and someone spoke something to him, and they said, don't speak those words over them. Like, it's going to control them for destiny. You know, they say, you know, John the Baptist's dad, you know, Zechariah didn't talk because, you know, he didn't want to speak those words. It's just nonsense because he didn't speak because it was unbelief. Like, so don't take it further. Like, you could say to me, you're never going to make it, Pastor. You're never going to make it. Hey, if with God, if God wants me to, I'm going to make it. I don't care what you say. Right? But they do influence us. That verse is saying they do influence. Right? So our words affect others. So important. I found this, Spiros Zodiades, he said this about little things. He said, we should mind little things in life. Little courtesies, little manners of personal appearance, little minutes of wasted time, little details in our work. It seems that a thing cannot be too small to command our attention. You know, they say if you study a subject 2 hours a day for 5 years, you'll be an expert. It's the compound effect in everything, whether it's your finances, your health, everything. It's a little bit each day, and it'll add up to something. It's not a big thing. It's little changes in your life, in my life, every day that will change. It's not a big change. That's why people say, I want to go and start eating healthy, and they try. I did that a long time ago and got all this stuff that's super healthy. It tasted horrible. I just stopped. It was the little changes in your life. I always tell people, if you want to start eating healthy, just eat what God created. Get away from what man put in a box. You'll start feeling better already. He said, he goes on to say this, it seems that things cannot be too small to command our attention. The first hint Newton had, leading to his very impatient optical discoveries, was derived from a child's soap bubble. The art of printing was suggested by a man cutting letters in the bark of a tree. The telescope was the outcome of a boy's amusement with two glasses in his father's shop. Goodyear neglected his skiller until it was red hot and accidentally guided him to manufacture the vulcanized rubber, which became a tire. So a little thing said at the right moment can change the course. I remember a long time ago, my oldest daughter was sick, and I had two professors at that time, and I couldn't make the two classes, and I talked to one professor, and one professor said to me, you know, I understand, blah, blah, blah. He just really encouraged me. The other one was like, what? That's more important? That's the way it came across. But wait, coming to this class with my daughter was more important? See, it's just little things like that that we can discourage someone or undermine them. All right, number 4, D on your outline. It can be prideful, which leads to destruction. Look at verse 5 beginning. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So our tongue is so powerful, and it always wants to promote myself and yourself. That's just naturally, right? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we don't have to try to boast for ourselves. It comes naturally. It's the opposite, right? We have to yield to the Spirit in order to promote God, right? A classic example of a person praising themselves, then God humbling them and praising God, is King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verses 30 through 35. Let me read it to you. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there was a fellow voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, let it be spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Thou shalt drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, thou shalt make thee great as grass, as ox, seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, did eat grass as an ox, as his body was wet with dew of heaven, so all his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I what? The opposite. I blessed the Most High. Right? I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand to say, what doest thou? Right? So we have to keep our tongue under control in order to praise God. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Proverbs 27, 2 says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. Okay? So we want to praise ourselves, right? It's only when we yield to the Spirit we're going to praise God. All right, let me do a couple more and we'll close. E, on your outline, taking notes, its effects permeate to others around us. Look at verse 5, the end of verse 5 and 6. All right, it says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. So one match can burn down a whole forest, right? October 8th, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire that started in O'Leary's barn. It ended up killing 300, left 100,000 homeless, and it cost the city $400 million. And that was back in 1871. That would be billions today. You see the California fire, sometimes it's just started by a cigarette. Burns down many, many trees. So verse is telling us, number one, it says the world of iniquity. It means evil, unrighteousness. It defiles the whole body. Set on fire the course of nature. The course of nature means it's a pattern of history that starts a pattern of history. A course of action by the words that we speak. I remember in high school, some guy would talk about some girl, and that was my girlfriend, and they end up fighting over the words that someone spoke. See, it set a course of action to take place. That's the idea of that phrase. It sets a course of action. We don't think that. See, we could say something. No, we just started this course of action, whether we like it or not, right? So we have to be careful. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer, it means tender, delicate answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge or right or rightly, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs chapter 26, 20 through 22. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. I have a wood stove at home. And every morning, that fire is out. It's cold. I got to go throw some wood on the fire. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So where there's no gossiper, right? As coals of burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer, a whisperer, a gossiper, are as wounds, and they go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. We cannot get back our words. That's why David said, Psalm 41, verse 3, set a watch, that means a guard, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. Now, this term set on fire of hell, in this term, the word, you know, hell means destruction, and it's the Greek word Gehenna, and it refers to the Valley of Hinnomon, where they had a continuous fire burning. It was like the trash dump, 24 hours. Jesus, we refer to that, 24 hours burning. It's everlasting is kind of the idea, right? So we need to use our tongue for heaven's purposes. And what are those? To praise God, to exalt him, to witness, to evangelize, to edify our brother and sister. See, let's really look at this in our life, because we're either building our kingdom the wrong way, or we're building God's kingdom. Isaiah 54 says this, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." I remember last night somebody said something to me. Man, I was so encouraging. It was uplifting. Now, Revelation 12, 9 through 11, we'll eventually get there, talks about Satan and the serpent. It says this, "And the great dragon was cut out, and the old serpent called the devil Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And this is the context of the middle of the tribulation. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night." So let's not work for Satan. Let's work for God. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So let us be known for trusting in Christ, being faithful, proclaiming God's word until the end. All right, last major point, we'll close. If you're taking notes, F, because we tend to speak negatively about others instead of positively. Let's read verses 7 through 12. Watch. He says, "Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed." And they're talking about those who are able to be tamed, he's talking about. "And hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison." It's like a snake. "Therewith bless we God." That's the word we get. You know, talking about speaking well of somebody. "Even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." Again, the image of God. "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And then he gives another example. "Doth a fountain or spring send forth the same place sweet water, fresh water, and bitter?" The answer is no. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives?" Can a fig tree bring olives? No. "Either a grapevine," right? Figs? No. "So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water?" So James is saying, every beast, those who can be tamed, man has trained these animals to do things normally they wouldn't do. Like, you know, elephants standing on, you ever go to the circus? Elephants standing on elephants, you know, horses walking these patterns, you know, tigers jumping through hoops. That's not natural. But man can accomplish that, but he can't control his tongue. That's what he's saying, right? We are depraved. We need God's help, right? Jesus said, you know, "I'm the vine, you're the branches," right? Without him, you could do what? Nothing. We're naturally, we want to tear people down, and we don't want to praise God. Gracious words do not come out of our mouth. That's our depraved nature, right? We should edify at times by lovingly rebuking somebody to their face. So if you have a problem with your spouse, your children, somebody in the church, wherever, we're supposed to go to them directly and say, "Honey, I love you so much, but we need to talk about this and we need to straighten it out." Right? Going with kind words, looking at the issue truthfully, nothing wrong with that. John Wesley was traveling in a coach, and this officer was in the coach and he was swearing. And John Wesley said this, "I have a request if you can help me out. He says, "If I should forget myself and swear, can you kindly reprove me?" So listen, talking behind someone's back does nothing in the end. As a matter of fact, if they find out, it's going to be worse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, here's the text. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or a sin," or just use it as, "Hey, they're in trouble, they're doing something wrong, I want to go help straighten them out." Okay, what do you have to do? Here it is. "Ye which are spiritual And it helps you. It says, restore such a one. That Greek word means mend. I'm going to mend them. I'm going to go speak the truth in love. I'm going to take the mote out of my own eye first. I'm going to go there to their face to help them, to restore, to build them up. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm going there to say, you know what? Only by the grace of God, I'm not doing that too. And then he says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? How would you want someone to come to you? We are good at praising God 1 minute and then leaving the church and cursing people in the church or at home or wherever. I found this philosopher, Xanthus. He said to his servant, he said, I want you to go and cook the best thing today and then the worst thing tomorrow. So the best thing he brought was, it was tongue. He said, why'd you bring me tongue? Because it could be so kind, it worships God. And the next day he brought tongue again. And because it blasphemy, it tells lies, it's deceitful. It's the worst thing. It all depends what's controlling it, right? It's the heart controlling it. And how what the heart condition is going to determine those words. Warren Wiersbe, I love this guy. He went home to be with the Lord. A great pastor, a great commentary. He says, as a pastor, I've seen many poisonous tongues do great damage to individuals, to families, to classes, and to an entire church. He says, would you turn hungry lions or angry snakes loose in your Sunday morning service? He says, of course not, but unruly tongue accomplishes the same results. So if we gathered all our words this past week, how much of it would have been praising God or cursing men? And now you could put in there under praising God and doing the right thing, going to talk to somebody directly and getting that's on that camp. Cursing men behind their backs. No. Again, we must remember our hearts are really the issue. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and defile the man. It is possible if we let God clean up our heart. That's why I was stressing to the couples the other night, please seek God first every day. Because when you're seeking God, what are you doing? You're confessing your sin. You're asking for strength. You're releasing bitterness, whatever it is. All those things, God's cleaning out our heart. He's giving the spiritual nutrition for the word. And then we could go, because if we don't do that, what's going to spill out from our heart to our spouse, to our kids, to everybody around us? That's what's going to happen. This is not rocket science. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Let him clean you up every day. Not talking about initially for salvation, but every day, right? We have to get this word in us, and we give over our burdens. And sometimes I just sit there and say, Lord, is there anything between me and you? Any motives, any desires? And I just listen. And a little thing will come up, and this little thing will come up. But if we're rushing our day, that will not happen. And then these words will come out of our mouth, and we'll be prideful, right? And we'll say things that will hurt people, will put people down. I read this quote by Denzel Washington. When I quote people, it doesn't mean I believe everything they say or do, okay? And I'm probably going to get it wrong, but he said, those who criticize you are always lower than those above you. Like, they're trying to accomplish what you do, so they're going to criticize you to take you down or what you have. It's not the people above you who have all that, so they're going to criticize you. All right. It speaks for itself, right? Don't run from this, because we're going to have to stand. You can sit there and smile and laugh at me and say, oh, Pastor, you got a lot of work on. But let me tell you, if you're thinking that, you're in trouble. I know what I need to do. But this is a daily thing. This is not something, okay, I get it all set. No, it's a daily thing. Because remember, our flesh, Satan, the world system, wants us to curse men. Only the Spirit of God wants us to praise him. And Satan will do everything he can. You know, things will come in your life, And again, we're going to be praising God for all eternity. So let's do it now. That's the only reason I brought this message. Don't think I preached it for you. I preached it for me. We, James said, over and over. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. It's so convicting. I mean, if you're not convicted here this morning, something's wrong. You're so prideful. We all need to say, Lord, will you forgive me for letting my heart get so, filled up with bitterness and jealousy and envy and pride and unforgiveness and unbelief and worry and fear and all these things. And then they come out in words to other people and we tear people down. We don't go to their face. So forgive each one of us. I hope you're asking for forgiveness this morning. Because the Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. He's waiting for us to come and say, well, God, will you forgive me? Not, Lord, can you help me here? Can you help me there? He doesn't hear that practically. I mean, he hears it. Of course, he's God. But he's not going to do nothing. Remember in 1 Peter 3:7, it says the husband's prayer life is hindered because he's not treating his wife right. So, Father, forgive us. And I pray as we move forward, we'd fill so much up with you every day and we'd praise you. Oh, bless the Lord at all times, continually. And we'll stop cursing men. So our home would get stronger. The workforce would get stronger. The church would get stronger. And Lord, if there's anyone or anything in our lives you need to get out or root out, then do it. Humble me, humble anybody else if they won't deal with this issue. Every idle word. Help me, Lord, to praise you, to speak those words of gratitude to you. May me use my lips to witness, to edify my brother and sister, to go and speak to somebody if I need to help them, or they could speak to me with kindness for restoration in mind. I thank you, Father, for what you'll do with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Go back over this. It'll help change your life.